The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this third Sunday after the Epiphany. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Our Old Testament reading says that light is Jesus, and that theme of light runs all the way through the service today. Poinsettias can be taken home by those who gave them. We do sing at the Care Center today. If you can join us, please do. No midweek Bible studies this week. Those resume a week from Wednesday, except for our Wednesday evening class, which will also not, the Wednesday evening class won't meet for the next two Wednesdays. We received a thank you note from Lutheran Child and Family Services for the Christmas gifts that you gave. Thank you for your generosity. February 9th is a voters' assembly meeting. That is at 10:30 a.m. And in our prayers, we include glorious friend Darlene Rose, who had surgery. Are there any other announcements or prayers that should be included today? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on our worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to shine his light, the light of Christ, into our lives in word and supper. Divine Service Setting 4, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made it glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high up on a rock. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid?
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or are you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words or eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way beyond the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 206. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
church in earth and heaven.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the Old Testament reading for the day from Isaiah chapter 9. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. So you get up in the middle of the night and you stumble through the pitch darkness trying to find that oil lamp. You can't find it. Doggone it, and you gotta go. And so you keep stumbling till you step on a child's toy. And then you remember why it was that you had misplaced the oil lamp. You had it last night when you were looking for that missing child's toy and never found it. Ouch, that hurt. Living in the darkness is difficult, especially if you live in 1820, which is how it would be if you were trying to get to the outhouse in the middle of the night in 1820, but you'd live in 2020, right? So you can use your cell phone to get you to the switch and then turn it on and 100 watts of illumination eliminate all darkness in the room, even if it is the middle of the night. But we do understand something of what the people in 1820 lived through. We have some grasp of living without light because most of us can remember like an ice storm when we lost electricity for several days at a time. We cope, but we don't do it without complaining. Darkness is difficult. I remember one year at our Easter vigil when we have only candlelight for roughly the first hour of the service. If you squint really well, you can see the words in your bulletin. And when it came time in the service to flip on the electric lights, I remember the first Easter vigil one lady had been at, she was sitting in the front row, and she let out an audible sigh and said, "Ah, finally!" She could see. Why didn't the people who lived from Adam until Edison complain about the darkness? Is it possible that it's because they'd grown accustomed to the living in darkness? They didn't know that there was anything better? Do we get accustomed to living in spiritual darkness, even though we do know there's something better? But we're used to putting ourselves first, to living the way everybody else in the world lives, with griping and telling lies and then trying to cover up those lies. We get used to pornography and filthy language and abortion and licentious use of sexuality all being a part of our society, and we start to think it's normal. Sort of like we start to think it's normal to covet our neighbor's job, looks, spouse, car. I hope that this isn't true, but I suspect that it is of you as it is for me. There are some temptations that you have yielded to so often that you have ceased to think of them as darkness and think, there's nothing wrong with this. Maybe you've gotten to the point in your religious walk that you've grown accustomed to darkness enough that you start to think of people who really work hard at living holy lives according to God's word as if they're going a little overboard in their religiosity, when the reality is we ought to admire their piety. Sometimes darkness overwhelms us. We live in it. We get comfortable with it. And when you do that, you know what it makes you? Normal. And in great peril. Dear Christians, do not get comfortable in the darkness that is all around us. Fight evil, the evil that is in you and the evil that is in this world. Your Lord has something far, far better for you in mind than the darkness. He has something far better for you in mind even than the light bulb that Edison invented. He has the light of the world for you, Christ. The people walking in darkness, that would be us, have seen a great light. That would be Jesus. When Isaiah first put those words on paper, or maybe first carved them into clay, God's Old Testament people were about to experience a metaphorical darkness that they had no idea was about to be imposed on them. At the time, Assyria was the great bully in the world. In effect, Assyria would come up to a little country like Israel and say, "You give us such a massive amount of money that it'll leave you in poverty, or we'll attack your country, devastate your land, and leave you in total poverty." So let's see, Israel has this great choice. They can either voluntarily give Assyria most of their money, or they can have it forcibly taken. Doesn't look like much choice, just looks like darkness. And sometimes we get to feeling like that too, like we don't have much choice but to live in the darkness. And we start giving in to it. The tribes of Israel that lived up in the north, up in Galilee, like Zebulun and Naphtali, they were the tribes that were in the greatest danger, because when Assyria arrived, Assyria would come from the north. So Zebulun and Naphtali were going to get the darkness first and worst. So Isaiah says very specifically, he's talking about Zebulun and Naphtali when he writes, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." You catch what's going on here? Before they have ever known or realized that darkness is even coming, God says not only is the darkness coming, but light will follow it. That Assyria will rule, but they will not rule permanently. This is kind of like God before creation. Before our first parents had introduced any kind of darkness into our existence, God had already planned how it was that He was going to rescue us from the darkness, even before we'd experienced the darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. God is predicting that the Assyrians will come, and then that the Assyrians will go. And what Isaiah promises happens. In 722 BC, the Assyrian army marches into Galilee, conquers Zebulun and Naphtali, and begins the darkest days in Israel's history. Maybe you know the rest of the story. The Assyrian army keeps marching further south, until they come down into Judea, to Judea's capital city, Jerusalem, and they lay siege to Jerusalem. And literally and figuratively, God's people are living in darkness. They are starving to death in the midst of that city. They are no match for that mighty Assyrian army. They have no hope. And suddenly, unexpectedly, one day, God sends the angel of Yahweh into the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000 troops of the enemy die in a single night. If anybody ever tells you God would never harm anybody, don't believe them. Right there, God annihilated an entire army that was seeking to do harm to His people. He will do the same on the last day. You do not want to be fighting against Yahweh. Israel and Jerusalem experiences what it's like to have Yahweh fighting for you, not against you. And suddenly their darkness of being besieged by this enemy turns into light. It looked like the darkness would last forever, but instead, suddenly the Assyrians turn and go home. They don't have any troops to fight with anymore. When they least expected it and most needed it, the light shined in the midst of their darkness, and that was a preview of coming attractions. A hint that 700 years later, God was going to send an even greater light. One not just for his Old Testament people, but also for us New Testament people who grow so accustomed to living in the darkness that sometimes we forget we're in the darkness. The light comes to us in a little baby. The verses immediately after our text say so. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And notice where Isaiah tells us that this light is going to shine. In Zebulun and Naphtali. And in today's gospel, we're told very specifically that Jesus grew up in Nazareth, in Zebulun, and then that he did his messianic work from Capernaum in Naphtali. Those God-forsaken lands of the north are God-forsaken no longer because God in the flesh has come and dwelt among them. God in the flesh, the one that Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father, teaches carpentry to, while his birth mother teaches him morality. Both of his parents teach him the promises of God, including the promise that the day is coming when the light that enlightens every person will come into the world. Well, Mary, did you know that your son that you were teaching about the light of the world really is the light of the world? Did you know that that baby would grow up? That he who was your firstborn son is also God's only begotten son, who would begin to call disciples to himself, who would invite Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow me. And they would leave their father and their fishing business that day and follow Jesus. He began to heal those afflicted with diseases and pains and demons, with those who were afflicted by epilepsy and paralysis. And where did all this ministry happen? In Naphtali. Exactly where Isaiah said 700 years before that it would happen. In Galilee, where the Romans had brought a new darkness with their invasion long after the Assyrians had left. But with the arrival of Jesus, the people walking in darkness had seen a great light. A light meant not only for the Israelites, but meant also for those Romans and for all who will trust in our Lord Jesus. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the light of God. And still today, Jesus comes and he shines into the midst of our darkness. He's speaking to you right now from the scriptures. His body and blood will arrive very soon. So we who dwell in darkness have seen a great light on us. Who dwelt in deep darkness, a light has shined. We have encountered Jesus. We have heard his invitation that says, follow me, and we leave everything to follow him, to be his disciples, because we have experienced his light. God has a fondness for shining light into darkness. In the very beginning, when there was nothing but blackness, God spoke. He declared, let there be, and light shined in the darkness. When his people Israel were wandering and the darkness was so thick that you could feel it, God provided a pillar of fire and the light shined in the darkness. But God's greatest shine in the darkness happened on Good Friday. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, noon until 3 p.m., when darkness covered the entire land, and it appeared that evil had won, that darkness had dominion over light, But the one hanging on the cross did not declare, "I am the light of the world," or nothing. Oh, to be sure, he was extinguished. He bore the full brunt of all of the darkness of your rebellion against God and mine, and it put out his life. He said, "It is finished," gave up his spirit, and he was no more. This is why it bothers me when we have tenebrae services on Good Friday where they carry a lighted candle out of the church, never to be extinguished, as if there's something, a little bit of spark of life still in Jesus. If his life is not extinguished completely, you and I have no hope of ever getting out of the darkness. But his life is extinguished. The light of the world went out. But the darkness was short-lived. 3 days later, in the pitch black of a sepulcher, the light was reignited, a resurrection happened, and eternal life dawned for you and for me and for all who will believe. We people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On us who dwell in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You and I have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do not be satisfied living in the darkness, dear Christians. Fight it with the light that has been given to you. And let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. He is the light of the world and the light of your life. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Because we who walked in darkness have seen the light of Christ, let us pray for ourselves and everyone on whom the shadow of darkness continues to fall. That the light of Christ continue to shine among us through the joyful preaching of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit shine his light into every life, where the darkness of unbelief still overshadows burdened hearts, and that Judy, Mike, Jerry, Kinsley remember God's baptismal blessings with joy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Church of Christ enjoy unity of doctrine and a spirit of harmony in the work that God has given us to do. That the Lord prosper this work by supplying faithful pastors and church workers, and that those who are persecuted for the faith be strengthened and resolved and granted an end to their suffering. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That St. Mark, St. John, and Emmanuel congregations, along with Christ our Savior family, be strengthened by preaching, absolution, and Christ's body and blood, that God keep all of us who hear in holy faith as long as we live, and that his light shine through us so that others see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That every Christian learns God's word and diligently teach the faith to our families and children, and that each of us be bold to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to all those we encounter each day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the nations enjoy peace, that our land be granted good and faithful leaders, that justice be done in the presidential impeachment trial and in all of life, that all useful arts and sciences flourish among us, and that marriage be honored in our culture. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the great physician give healing and peace to those afflicted in body or mind, especially that he grant his care to Roy, Roger, Barb, Charles, Kathy, Sherry, Darlene, Charlie, Devin, Bob, Aaron, the Black family, Joshua, Holly, Clem, and Nina, and that he receive our heartfelt thanks for the improved health of Bill, Dorothea, Norma, and Barbara. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
that the lonely be welcomed warmly and find consolation in the fellowship of God's people, and that those who sorrow not despair, but find hope in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That those of us who come to the table of the Lord be granted faith and repentance, and that we be strengthened by Christ's body and blood to shine his light in the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That our Lord receive our sacrifices of praise and our offerings as inadequate but heartfelt signs of our gratitude for his light, saving work, and blessings in our lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we honor God's gift of life from conception to its natural end, that we guard those most in danger and resist anything that would cheapen life or rob it of divine dignity, and that those darkened by guilt hear from us about the Lord who, or the light who redeems us, lost and condemned sinners. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Service of the Sacrament, page 208. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, for you have had mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat and eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sin. Take drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sin. The light of the world has shined on you. You receive Christ's body, his blood, and his forgiveness from him, in his peace. Thank you.
incarnate Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose victorious, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and of evil reeling, he brings us freedom, life, and
thank you.
us and distress us, yet with heavenly joy you bless us. Lord, when you look on us in love, at once there falls from God above a ray.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.